Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Gimel. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance under our nosei, our topic heading that you find in the margin, and we've written Kol she'osur mishum shvus, any type of prohibition that is rabbinic, lo gozru olav bein hashmoshos. The rabbis did not impose their restriction during the bein hashmoshos time, which is after sunset, before 3 stars appear. What we just said is a machlokis Rebbe and the Chachamim. And an example where this applies, kigon hanochas eruv be'ilon, where one places his eruv, he wants to extend his tchum, as we've discussed in the recent dapim, so he places the food in a tree, shimush be'ilon have shvus, the use of the tree, in other words, accessibility to your eruv involves taking the eruv off of the tree. So that action of taking the eruv off of the tree would be a violation, let us say, if done on Shabbos proper, would be a violation of Shimush B'ilon, which is a shivus, a rabbinic prohibition. Since the eruv takes effect during Bein HaShemashos, in other words, at the very point, but prior to the entrance of Shabbos, your location is established by the eruv, as we've discussed numerous times in previous dapim. So the issue of the effectiveness of the eruv involves your accessibility to the eruv as well. Do you have accessibility? Well, if it's in a tree, so at that point in time when the eruv kicks in, when it takes effect, which is Bein HaShemashos, so you don't have accessibility on a rabbinic level, does that pose a problem to the effectiveness of the eruv? So we say that is a machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim. Shas Knirus Knias Eruv Bein HaShemashos. We just pointed that out, that the time that the eruv takes effect is at that Bein HaShemashos period. So, as we said, and we made an allusion to this earlier, and we have a little arrow in our Gemara text to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, there's an arrow indicating Lamed Beis, Omed Beis, where reference was made to Shitas Rebbe, that called over Shumi Shum Shvus Lo Goz Olav Bein HaShemashos, and the Rabbanon disagree. So the Gemara here is asking for the sources for that information. So, my Rebbe or my Rabbanan. What is the source? Where is there a Tanaic source in which we see such a machlokis? Now, we have a little starred note that says that Hezber Mokerzeh Kol El Chivas Ravina Ravirmi Amamshich Ad Sof Lamed Dalet Amad Aleph. So, we're involved in a rather long discussion involving reading the source and then explanations for the source that includes Votide references to Ravino, and on Omid Beis you'll see Rabirmiya. This discussion continues, as we just said, till Lamed Dalet Omid Aleph. So again, we're looking for Rebbe and the Rabbanon as regarding their argument. Concerning Kol Dover Shu'asa Mishum Shavuos Lo Gozu Olav Bein HaShemashos. So we have a source, and information in this source also is explained by that which we have already learned in our previous shiur. So it's important that one is familiar with the previous dapim of Gemara before learning this, making things all the easier. And of course, we won't explain all over again that which we've already explained. So the source says, Nosnoi be'ilon, a person placed his eruv in a tree, as we already explained. And of course, everyone has their pirush chai, so that we can you know, one picture is worth a thousand words. So we have, we're referencing the tree that we saw on page 78, illustration number 8 in our Pirush Chai books. So he placed the ilan lamalo me'asara tfochim ein eruv el eruv. If the eruv is more than 10 tfochim above the ground, so it's not an effective eruv, because he, the owner, the individual, wants to bekein his shvisa, wants to establish his location in the rishus harabim, on the floor, on the public domain, and the eruv is in a rishus hayochid up there in the tree. Lamato me'asara tfochim eruv el eruv. If the loaf is placed within 10 tefachim of the ground, his eruv is effective. The osur litlo, the prohibition of he can't take it because of the problem being mishtamish beilon. Besoch shlosha mutur litlo. If the eruv is placed rather low, within 3 tefachim of the ground, that's considered as if it's on the ground, even though physically it's in a tree, and the rabbinic restriction of mishtamish beilon does not apply, so he can take it. Another case, and here we look at illustration 16, page 80 of the Pirush Chai. Nosno bekalkola v'toloi be'ilon. If he placed his loaf in a basket and suspended, hung the basket on a tree, afilu l'malo me'asora tfochem eruvo eruv, divrei Rebbe. Even if the basket is more than 10 tfochem, as you can see, as is illustrated, the eruv is effective, and this is in contrast to what we saw in number 1 of this particular brisa. The chachamim omrim kol mokom she'osur lit lo ein eruv el eruv. The chachamim declare that wherever it's forbidden to take it, the eruv is not effective. The Gemara now focuses for a moment on the chachamim. This last phrase, what is their comment going on in this source? The Chachomim Oimrim, ahey, the comment of the Chachomim just now, what is it going on? Ilemo aseifo, if it's referring to the basket case, not a basket case, but the basket case, lemo kosavri rabbonon stodem asurim, should we conclude that the rabbonon are of the opinion that things attached to a tree are also prohibited? The Gemara doesn't want to reach that conclusion, being that that is a known machlokas featured in the end of Maseches Shabbos, and this source is not brought as a basis for concluding that argument. So apparently the Chachamim are not referring to the topic of Tzdodin Asurim, the things hung or attached to the side of a tree. That's not the issue over here. So the Chachomim are not going on the case of the basket, or the basket case. Elo Aresha. Rather, they're going on the case of Nosno Be'ilon Lamato Me'asora. We saw in example number 2 in this source, where a person put the Eruv on a tree within 10 Tfochim of the ground, and it said the Eruv, the Tanakhama said the Eruv is effective. The Tanakhama in this case is Rebbe, it's effective, but you can't take it from the tree. Showing us that even though there is a rabbinic prohibition, it doesn't prevent the Eruv from taking effect. The Chachamim now enter the picture and say, if you can't take it from the tree, so the Eruv is not effective. Showing us that they hold that something that the Chachamim asked Mishum Shvus, they does prevent the Eruv from taking effect. And that's what we said before in our introduction. Kol she'osur mishum shvus, according to the Rabbonin, gozru alav bein hashmashos. The Gemara now looks at the beginning of this source, Hai Ilon Hechidami. More details about this tree. We want to know some details. What are the circumstances? By the way, the arrow that you can see in the margin is helping you to tie in the word Elon that we just quoted, Hi Elon, to the Elon featured at the beginning of the source. So, again, what is the Elon? What are the circumstances around this Elon? Idales bei arbo'o, if the tree doesn't have a width of 4 tvachim, then mokom turhu, then the status of this tree is called Mokum Ptur, and that's basically like saying that the tree is a non-domain, and as such, there would be no problem in taking the Eruv from, there should be no problem in the Eruv being effective, even if it's more than 10 tefachim above the ground. What would the problem be if it's more than 10 tefachim above the ground? So the thought was that the tree is a Rishus HaYochid, and you are in a Rishus HaRabim, and on, you have no access to the Eruv whatsoever, because you're going from a private domain to a public domain. That's a Torah level prohibition. So the Eruv is no good. However, if you tell me that the tree is less than 4 tefachim, there is no Torah level prohibition in taking the tree, taking the Eruv from the tree. It's not a private domain, it's a Mokum Ptur. So why above 10 would the source have said it's not a good Eruv? Therefore, that's not the case. V'id is bay arba'a, and if the tree has a size of 4 tefachim, it's 4 tefachim wide, then kinosno b'kalkola mayave. So what that the Eruv is in the basket? You're taking the basket being hung from the tree. It's attached to a Rishus HaYochid. So how does it help to have the Eruv in the basket, as we saw in example number 4, where it said that even if it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground, the Eruv is effective? Amar Ravina. Now we have a new marking. We made a quick reference to it before. On the side we have a Mivneh. The Mivneh says, we feature the bow tie, Shnei Hezberim Lebraisa Deliel, two explanations for the Braisa that we just had. Nosno Be'ilon, the Braisa that's in, that we entitled Nosno Be'ilon, we have Ravina's explanation, and on Omid Beis, Rab Yirmiyah. Both of them, you can see, are in bow ties. We also have a little additional note, He'ora, a note. Shnei Nikudos She'tzrifim Levarer B'keshe L'Braisa. There are two points that need to be clarified. Ma he midos oive ho'ilon, what are the dimensions of the tree, the thickness of the tree? And eich mashpi al kalkola, bikotoni afilu malu me'asora eruv el eruv. How does the basket have an effect? So, with that in mind, and of course these points were already pointed out in the Gemara, Omar Ravina, we continue with Ravina, Reisha the is be arba, the Reisha of the source, namely before we get to the basket, it's a tree that has 4 tefachim of width to it, and therefore above 10 it's not a good Eruv, because above 10 it's a Rishus HaYochid, and having the Eruv located in Rishus HaYochid, you have no access to it even on a Torah level, because that's a Rishus HaYochid, and you are Konesh Visa in a Rishus HaRabim. You cannot carry your Eruv from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, even though it's Bein Hashmoshes. Bein Hashmoshes is the time that the Eruv takes effect, but you're dealing with a major level Shabbos level prohibition, and therefore it's binding even Bein Hashmoshes at the entrance of Shabbos. Was prior to the literal entrance of Shabbos. Seifa the less bay arba, the kalkol mashli mosul arba. We're in the seifa in the basket case. We're talking about the a tree there that does not have 4 in width, but together with the basket's width, it you now have 4 tefachim. And we have an illustration that we will make reference to again momentarily in illustration number 19 at the bottom of page 80. So there's you could see that the 4 tefachim is realized only by combining the basket with the tree. So the Gemara now continues at the top of Amud Beis. The Rebbe Savalok Rebbe Meir Savalok Rebbe Yudah, in order for Rebbe to establish his opinion that in a basket, even though it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground, it's a good Eruv. This is because we are accepting two Tanaic points of view, combining them to form a Shita. As the Gemara continues on the second line, Savar Lo K'Rebbe Meir, the Omar Chukikin L'Hashlim, Rebbe accepts the idea of Rebbe Meir that we have learned earlier in this Masichta. This was in the case in the Sugya, back on Daf Yud Aleph, involving a mezuzah in a doorway that doesn't have four tefachim of width all the way up till the top, but it's located in a wall, and in your mind's eye, if you were to carve out a doorway that's four tefachim wide all the way up to the top, so it would then be chayev in a mezuzah. That's Shitas Rabbi Meir. Chokikin lashmitz, to carve out something to complete a needed dimension. And of course, when we say carve out, it means in your mind's eye. So that's Chokikin Lahashim, and that is what you saw illustrated in illustration 19 at the bottom of page 80 in the Pirush Chai. And the Gemara continues, V'savar lo, k'Rabbi Yehuda damar bu'inon eruv al gabi mokom arba v'leka. And another requirement is that an eruv has to be sitting, in this case the loaf of bread has to be sitting on some spot that measures four tefachim, and you wouldn't have it in the case of the tree unless you include the basket's width. So in other words, as a result of insisting on mokum arba, because of that, so we come on to this explanation of the basket and chokikin lahashlin to create the four tefachim. Now, as a result of this, the tree, even though it has this, we'll call it imaginary four tefachim width, it's not a real Rishus HaYochid, and therefore the issue of taking it from the tree to where you are is not a problem. Because if anything, at the worst case scenario, you're dealing with something that would be an Isur Durabonon, and Kol Milsa Disbei Mishum Shvus Lo Gozra Lo Bein HaShemoshes, according to Rebbe. So that is no problem. It's not a real Rishus HaYochid, and therefore you do have access to the Erev on from a Torah level. So with this, we can see how we've explained the case of the basket the source featured, and that's because we were dealing with a tree in the seifa. In the basket case, the tree there was not itself four tefachim. This approach is in contrast with Rav Yirmiyah's approach. If you notice, we have a bracketed section. The reason for the brackets is in order for us to get immediately to see Rav Yirmiyah's approach, who says that the tree in the Reisha and the Seifa do measure four tefachim. The tree itself is four tefachim, even without the basket. And then you'll ask them, if that's the case, then why if the Eruv is in the basket, is the Eruv kosher? So Rav Yirmiyah says, if you skip momentarily, Rav Yirmiyah Omar, Shiny Kalkola, Hayol V'yochel in Toysa V'yod L'Toych HaSorah. There's an illustration 26 that points out what Rav Yirmiyah is talking about, since there is the potential, when the Eruv is in the basket, of tilting the basket downwards so that the basket is within 10 tefachim of the ground, making it such that the Eruv is no longer deemed to be in a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore it's a good Eruv, only in the case of the basket. When I say only in the case of the basket, you're dealing with something that started off being more than 10 tefachim above the ground, where on the tree itself it's not a good Eruv. However, with the basket and its ability to be tilted downwards, that makes it into a good Eruv. We'll get back to Rav Yirmiyah, but what we wanted to do in our Gemara Markings Daf Yomi presentation was give you a flavor of how to look at the Gemara in a general sense. We saw Ravino's explanation, and we jumped to Rav Yirmiyah's explanation of the source, specifically the effectiveness of the basket. We have a note that accompanies the brackets, the starred note, and we've written Sograim L'Shem Dilug. The purpose of the brackets is for skipping this section. Kedei Lishmo Al Retzef HaTshuvos, that the both high answers, L'Hasbir Abraisa B'Amad Aleph, the Shuvos that are the answers to explain the Braisa on Amad Aleph, specifically the basket case. B'Socham, within the brackets, HaGemara, number 1, Mevi'a HaMokar Shel Rebbe Yehuda, Debo'inon Eruv Al Mokom, Al Gabi Mokom Dalid. We have just mentioned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, an Eruv is not considered effective unless it's sitting on a spot, a place that measures 4 by 4 tefachim. And the second point that will be dealt with in the bracketed section, the Gemara's Ma'ale Havamina, the Tirutz Shel Ravina Eino K'Rabbi Yosi B'Rabbi Yehuda. That will become a detailed point, namely that the explanation offered by Ravina is not in concert, is not consistent with the opinion of the Tano Rabbi Yosi B'Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll explain Amir Tzashem when we get to it. So now the bracketed section. We have a Tatnosei, a subtopic heading, where we've noted Korah Gavoa Asora Ruchova Dalid, a Korah that is 10 tvochim high and 4 tvochim wide, Aval Lamato Eino Ruchova Dalid. But below, meaning as you go down on this beam, on this pole, you'll find it doesn't have a measure of 4 tvochim of width. In other words, only at the top does it measure 4 tvochim, but downwards it doesn't. Haim Dino Kirishus HaYochid, is this considered a Rishus HaYochid, being that it has a height of 10 and at the top it measures 4 across, which are the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid, or because it doesn't continue with a width of 4 down till the bottom, maybe it's not a Rishus HaYochid. And once again, when we speak about a Rishus HaYochid, the nafkamina in our sugi is if you want to establish your Shabbos location on the ground, which is a public thoroughfare, and you place your loaf on something that is a Rishus HaYochid, it won't be an effective Erev because you have no access to it, being that it's you're going from one Rishus to another. And number two, Mosai Amrinon Gud Ochis Mechitza. When do we apply the rule of good ochis mechitza will be a second point that the Gemara discusses. Now, good ochis mechitza is an oral tradition that I term the imaginary descending wall. It's where you imagine a mechitza descending. When we say imagine, it doesn't mean just your imagination, but the oral tradition allows you to imagine a descending wall. And we'll get to that later. So now the Gemara. My Rebbe Yehuda. We had pointed out that an Eruv must be located on a surface measuring 4 by 4 Tvachim, and said that's Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. So where is that found? Answer. And we have a long answer marking for this. Desanya Rebbe Yehuda Omer Noatz Kuro Birushus HaRabim V'niach Eruvo Oleha. A person wedged a board in a public thoroughfare and placed on the top of this korah an eruv, a loaf of bread. Gavo asora v'rochava arba eruv. If the board is 10 tvochim high and 4 tvochim wide, so the eruv is a kosher eruv. And that's a bit perplexing, but we'll just hold on for a moment. V'im lav ein eruvo eruv. And if not, and when we say if not, so we have to know what's not. So there's a certain Havamina right now, and the Havamina, but this is going to be changed later. The Havamina is an if not, meaning if it's not 10 Tvachim tall, nor is it 4 Tvachim wide, so the Eruv is not a good Eruv. Well, on this the Gemara is amazed, and it says, Adarabbah asks, how could you say that? Regarding this Seifa, regarding point Beis in this source, assuming that the im lav means if it's not 10 tvachim tall, who the eruv b'makom echad? Who? What do you mean it's not a good eruv? That's a great eruv. He wants to be in the Rishus HaRabim, and the eruv being within 10 tvachim of the ground, because the im lav says, and if the pole is not 10 tvachim tall, he and the Erev are in the same area, meaning within 10 Tvachim, it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim. Why would the source say then it's not a good Erev? Ela hachi ka'omar. So we have to reread or re-understand the source. Gavo asara, if the pole is 10 Tvachim tall, tzorch sheh barosho arba, if there's any chance of the Eruv being effective, so the top would have to have a surface of 4 Tvachim. as we saw before, and we're dealing with Rebbe Yehuda, that's why we dashed underline his name just before in the source, that's because of his shita. You need to have the Erev sitting on 4x4. Ein gavoa asara, if however the pole is less than 4 tvachim, then less than 10 tvachim tall, ein sor shei barosh arba, then there's no need for the requirement of it sitting on a platform, on a base of 4 tvachim of width. Because at that point, when it's within 10 tvachim of the ground, it's as if it's on the ground. So the ground naturally has unlimited width to it, so it's a good Eruv, because it's sitting on sufficient width. The only time that you need to have that width requirement kicks in is when you're more than 10 tvachim from the ground. So in this source, we see that the Eruv needs to be on a 4x4 platform. We continue with the next point, Keman. The Rashi explains, he focuses our attention, when the Gemara is asking Keman, meaning like whom, Rashi in the lower part of the page, in the medium size lines, we have a little diamond in the Rashi. Keman mitareks Ravina li'el, like whom does Ravina explain what he does before? Afagav the chukikin lahashlim the ikar roichav arba lo havi rishus hayochid. In Ravino's explanation before, we had the basket attached to the tree, and we said that in your mind's eye you carve out the area next to the basket on the tree, as we saw in illustration 19. Ravina said that, well, you do that, you establish a basis of 4 tvachim, and yet lo havi rishus hayochid, it's not a rishus hayochid mishum the ein beikoro dalid. Why is it a good eruv? Because it's not a private domain. And why is that? Because the base of the tree, at the bottom of the tree, it wasn't 4 tvachim. It was 4 tvachim only at the top, not at the bottom. Well, that approach is the lo k'rabiosi Rabbi Yehuda. That is unlike the Rabbiosi Rabbi Yehuda, who we will see very shortly. Just want to point out that there is another approach in the Rashi to this Keman question, and in our Gemara markings we have a diamond around that, but in the context of our audio shiurim, we want to keep things as simple as possible so as not to confuse ourselves with additional explanations. We'll stick with this pshat right now. So once again, Keman, Ravino's explanation with the basket and the tree being and Chokikin Lahashlim, the tree being thereby being 4 tvachim at the top, and yet the Erev is good because you have accessibility, because the tree is not really a Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because the lower part of the tree doesn't measure 4 tvachim of width. That is the Loker of Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? Well, we're going to see momentarily that according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, if something measures 4 at top, having a height of 10 tvachim, even if at the bottom it's narrow, the thing, that entity is called a Rishus HaYochid. The Sanya, the source, begins. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Noatz Konav Rishus Rabim. Look at illustration 25 in the Pirush Chai. You can see a pole is wedged into a public thoroughfare, Vinich Barosha Traskel. And at the top, you see a basket. As you can see in illustration 25, there appears to be an inverted basket. Vizorak Vinoch Al Gabov Chayov. If a person threw from the floor onto the top of what you see in illustration 25, what has he done? He's thrown from where he's standing in a public domain to a Rishus HaYochid. What do we see then? We see that something that at the top has the dimensions of 4x4 tvachim, that traskel, the basket, is assumed to be a normal basket which has that dimension, and it's a height of 10 tvachim from the ground, and it's, even though it's narrow at the bottom, it nevertheless is considered a Rishus HaYochid. Well, that is not like the way Ravina understood the basket case that we had illustrated in illustration 19. Because in illustration 19, that was not considered a Rishus HaYochid, even though it seems to have the same dimensions as illustration 25. The Gemara says, not so. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina's explanation doesn't clash with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's din. Hossam, in the case of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the reason that that's a Rishus HaYochid is because Hadron Mechitzta. If you look in illustration 25, the Aleph points out the fact that the basket has, in effect, walls. The sides of the basket, in your mind's eye, would be the wall, and the wall would descend downwards, creating an entire entity of 4 by 4 tfachim, the entire height of 10 tfachim, because of the walls of the basket that, in your mind's eye, surround the basket. They go all around it and descend, being that it's Hadron Mechitzta, so the walls can thereby descend, creating the impression of being a Rishus HaYochid. As opposed to Hocha, in the case of the basket, Lo Hadron Mechitzta, you don't have walls surrounding the area, the height of Ten Tfachim. You have only a part of it where the basket itself is located. So, giving it, a lesser Rishus HaYochid, a lesser chance of becoming a Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, in illustration 19, where the food is in that basket, it's a good Eruv, because it's not a real Rishus HaYochid, and therefore you have access to it on a Torah level for the one who is standing in the Rishus HaRabim. We continue now in the Gemara. The bow tie number 2 indicates a second explanation to the case of the basket and why the basket featured in the Brisa on Amud Aleph is effective, even though it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground. Reb Yirmiyah Omar, Shaini Kalkala, the case of the basket is different. Hoyol v'yochol lintoy sevia l'soich asara. As we pointed out earlier, illustration 26, you can see the basket, though it starts off more than 10 tefachim from the ground, in potential. And you notice we've squiggle underlined the word hoyil. That becomes our new tat nosei, our subtopic. We, on the side of the Gemara, call it in one word hoyil, but it represents an entire institution of Talmudic thought, and that is this idea of potential. How prominent does potential figure when you're coming to a halachic conclusion? So Rav Yirmiyah says, since there is the potential for this basket to be twisted downwards, bringing it within 10 tefachim of the ground, hence accessibility to the Eruv, it's a good Eruv. Yosef Rav Papa v'ko'omar l'hosh maitza. Rav Papa was seated and he said over this teaching of Rav Yirmiyah, this concept of hoyul v'yochol intosa, the potential. We emphasize here potential, not so much the twisting of the basket per se, but the potential for twisting the basket. And now, this brings us into the upcoming Gemara, where we have diamonds on the side under our Mivneh heading. These diamonds represent Shnei Kushios Al Tirusa Shurab Yirmiyah Shesover Shaminon Hoyo. We're going to try to bring that into question. Do you really say Ho'il? In other words, allow the potential to be the basis of applied halacha. The Gemara presents a question. We've labeled this a long question. You can see it goes to the second line from the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. But just a word of background is necessary for the source that Rav Bar Shva quotes. This source opens up with a case of Yom Tov coming out on the day before Shabbos, so that Thursday night ushers in Yom Tov. So Friday is Yom Tov, and then following Yom Tov is Shabbos. And this source talks about someone that wants to have an Eruv Tumin for Yom Tov and for Shabbos. They are two separate days, even though one leads into the other. So what should one do? And we will tell you that just to put an Eruv at the beginning of Yom Tov, which would be, see, right before Thursday night sets in, and like hope it's effective, leave it there throughout all of Friday and through Friday night into Shabbos, we don't look at that as a method, because who says the Eruv that you place down Thursday night will still be there for Shabbos? And if you rely on an Eruv that's not there to you, then you'll be in violation on Shabbos of walking beyond the Tum. So what should one do? So Ketzad Hu Oise. Molicho Borishon. He carries the bread right before the onset of Yom Tov. We'll say as Thursday night approaches, he places the Eruv Umachshich Olav. He places it down where he wants to be to establish his new Yom Tov location, so that he can go up to 4,000 amas from where he is, from where he lives. So he brings the bread to that place. Barishon means, we'll say Thursday, right before Thursday night. Umachshich Olav means he waits there till Yom Tov sets in, to Choshech, till it becomes dark, meaning till the Eruv kicks in, it takes effect. Once the Eruv takes effect, then we say that is where his location is. But no, Bolo, he then takes the bread and goes back home. Besheni, when now it's, we're dealing with the end, the last moments of Friday, that's Besheni, the second day, as Shabbos is about to come in. So he carries the Eruv there, because Yom Tov is a time that carrying is permitted. And then he carries it there. Now the word Molicho is not in the source. It's not written in, but it's important to imagine it. That's why we wrote it in between the lines. He carries the Eruv and Machshich Olav and remains there. The Ochlo, and eats it there. Because being that it's Shabbos, so he cannot carry it back home. And if he wants to eat it, so he eats it right there, Ubolo, and then goes back home. The main thing is that the Eruv took effect because the bread was there as Friday night set in. Now what do we see here in terms of his behavior, in terms of making things effective? We see that he brought the bread there on Thursday, and he has to bring it again on Friday. So why does he have to actually bring it again? We continue at the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Why does he have to actually bring it again? That's why we told you that when the source said B'sheni Machshich, it was important to write in your mind's eye, we wrote it in physically, that on Friday, Molicho, he brings it there, because we're focusing on that. Why does he have to bring it there on Friday? Nema Kevon de Iboy Amtuye Motzi Mamtile. Why not say, let's read that line again, Kevanti Eboy, this Eboy we squiggle underline because it's the same thing, it's in Aramaic, but it's like the word ho'il, since. Since, if he wanted to bring it there on Friday, he could bring it there, it's Yom Tov, you're able to carry, you're allowed to carry. So since it potentially could have brought it there, even if Afagavdilo Amte, even if he didn't actually bring it there, come on, Amte, tell me, view it as if he brought it there. And yet the source doesn't allow that. The source says you've got to bring it there on Friday. That would seem to repudiate the ho'il concept that Reb Yirmiyah introduced with regard to the basket and twisting the basket downwards. Omar Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera says, this doesn't repudiate the concept of hoil. In this case, we have an additional concern. In the case of the Eruv, the two-day Eruv thing, we have an additional concern. We want you to bring the Eruv there on the second day. Zera Mishum Yom Tov Shechal Lios Achar Shabbos. Because of the inverse case, the mirror image case, where you want a 2-day Eruv, but the first day is Friday, and the first day is Shabbos, and the second day is Yom Tov. In that case, this Ho'il wouldn't apply. You couldn't even say it. We'll spell it out. First of all, when we talk about Ho'il, as the name implies, the potential has to exist. When a potential exists, so then we say you don't have to actualize it. You don't have to actually do it because I could do it in potential. However, in Shabbos Sunday, in that scenario, and I want to have a two-day Eruv, so what would you do? You would place the Eruv on Shabbos, meaning on Friday night, as Friday night sets in, that's the first day of your Eruv, you place it there. Now, you can't carry it home. You're going to, at best, you leave it there. You could hang in there till it gets dark. And then you go home, leaving the Eruv there. It's Shabbos. You can't carry it back. And you want to have that same loaf to serve as your Eruv for Sunday, which is Yom Tov. What do you do? You can't say that, well, since in potential he could bring back the Eruv, he couldn't even bring it home in the first place. So the whole potential, because of what we mentioned in the Friday Yom Tov, then Shabbos case, doesn't apply over here where it's Shabbos and then Sunday. So since and by the way, in that case, if you want to have an effective Eruv where you have Shabbos and then Sunday, what the halacha will demand of you is you'll have to, on Shabbos afternoon, go to where the Eruv, where it was originally there, and hope it's still there. And if it's still there, so then you can rely on it. If you just hang in there till Saturday night, and then it'll be an effective Eruv. But in that case, you have to go there. So you don't. You have to go there to make sure the Eruv is still there. So since in the Shabbos Sunday case, we don't have the potential that we mentioned in the Friday Shabbos case, so even in the Friday Shabbos case, we are not going to rely on on the Ho'il, but we insist on your actually going there on Friday afternoon carrying the Eruv. Because in the case of Shabbos Sunday, we will insist on your actual going there to make sure the Eruv is still there. So just to repeat ourselves, since in the Shabbos Sunday case, you don't have the Ho'il as described in the previous case, so in the previous case as well, we're not going to rely on the Ho'il. The Gemara continues with another question. Eisvei. The diamond indicates that we're going to be asking, we're going to be challenging the Ho'il idea once again. We have a source, and it's helpful to use the diagrams, diagram number 27. Niskaving Lishbos Brishus Rabban. A person has the intention of establishing his Shabbos location in a public thoroughfare. That's the Lamato, the bottom. He's Rishus HaRabim. V'hiniach Eruvo Bakoisel. And he places his bread, the Eruv, in a wall. The wall is close to where he is Konesh Shvisa. And as Rashi points out, the person is more than four amos from where the wall is, lemato me'asora tvachim, eruvo eruv. If the eruv is under 10 tvachim, then the eruv is effective. Lemalo me'asora tvachim, ein eruvo eruv. If the bread is placed at a height of more than 10 tvachim from the ground, he is in Rishus HaRabim, the eruv is in a Rishus HaYochid, and since he's more than 4 tvachim from the wall, so the imaginary private domain that surrounds a person is not going to be helpful over here. And this is a reference to a point that was made in earlier Gemaras. Rashi makes it over here, but it's not central for right now. All that you have to see is that if it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground, so the Eruv is not effective. Niskaven lishbois b'roish hashovach. And truth be told, this is the more important part of the source, because it's on this case that the Ho'il question will come up. We also have to point out that there are two Lushonos in Rashi that deal with this, and the second Lushon is in the lower part of the page. We placed the brackets with a bracket length indicator to show you where this is in the Rashi and how long the alternative explanation is. We're going to be using the first of Rashi's explanations. So we have a case where he wants to be Shoves Barosh HaShovach, illustration 28, or Barosh HaMigdal, illustration 29. A Shovach is a bird coop, and the Migdal is we can call it a cupboard. And he wants to be on the top. That's where he wants to be for his Shabbos location. Now, he places his Eruv, Lamalo me'asora tvochim, Eruvo Eruv. If he places his Eruv more than 10 tvochim from the ground, so the Eruv is effective. Even though he cannot take the Eruv from where it is to where he is, because that involves pulling the Eruv from the bird coop or the cupboard outside and then going over the airspace of Rosh Hashanah and bringing it to where he is, that is a Shabbos level Torah violation. Shabbos Torah level violation called Moshit. And so that idea of that, let's say, explanation of accessibility is not in the cards. However, the question is, why is it a good Eruv? So Rashi points out, because he, from the top of that bird coop, can go down to where the Eruv is and eat it where it is. And since it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground, and he is even higher up, it's considered as if he and the Eruv are in the same domain. Because from 10 tefachim, from the height of 10 tefachim up to the heaven, is considered one domain. So we don't have the problem of who b'mokam echo ve'eruv b'mokam achir. However, as we go on in the source, Lamata me'asora tvochim ein eruvo eruv. And here we dashed underline, this is where we become really interested. If the eruv is placed lower than 10 tvochim, so the eruv is not effective. First of all, he cannot take the eruv from where it is. As we said before, because it involves going through the avir rishus harabim. And what he would be doing is taking it through the Avir Rishus HaRabim to where he is a Rishus HaYochid, and that's strictly prohibited. And as far as his going down to that point from where he is, well, he was above, and the Eruv is in a different domain. Rashi points out that if you were to have that expectation that he would go down to where the Eruv is, it's not in his Mokum Shvisa, it's not where his location was. And we need to have the Seuda to be available in his location. Now, the Gemara asks, V'amai, why do you say that if the Eruv is within 10 tefachim of the ground, that it's not an Eruv? And we explained it's not an Eruv because it's said to be in a different domain, a different location from where he is. Hachi Nami Nemo, why not say over here as well, illustration 31, Hoyul v'yachol lintoisoi lehavioi lesoich asora. In your mind's eye, you could imagine the Shovach or the Migdal being tilted over to its side, bringing him down to within 10 tefachim of the ground, the Eruv being within 10 tefachim of the ground, both in the same domain, whereby he would be said to have access. In other words, assuming that he and the Eruv, when the Eruv is tilted down, both are within 10 tefachim, and we have another assumption is that he is within 4 Amos of the Eruv, being that the height of this bird coop or cupboard is less than 4 Amos, so he is, it's all part of his domain. Yet we don't say that. So this is the challenge to
the Ho'il explanation that Rabbi Yirmiya had mentioned in our previous bow tie back on Lamed Gimel Medeis. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, appropriately enough, Rabbi Yirmiya is the first of two explanations here. Hacha b'migdal mesumor askinan. 29 bays. Illustration 29, look at the little bays. Here, there is no potential because the migdal mesumor is a nail. It's nailed into or it's screwed into the wall. So there isn't any potential. Hence, there's no challenge to the rule. The rule says that where something has the potential, then it need not be actualized. However, here you don't have the potential because the migdal is nailed into the wall. Rava amar filu tema migdal she'eno mesumar, even if it's a detached cupboard. Nevertheless, it still is not a good error because v'hocha b'migdal oroch askinan, we're talking about a migdal, a cupboard that's very tall. It's more than 4 amos. And he wants to be at the top of this cupboard. The eruv is more than 4 amos away. The imantile purta, if you were to tilt this cupboard to the side, nofik le chutz la'arba amos. The Eruv, even if he and the Eruv are within 10 tfachim, because you've tilted it, it's not going to help because the Eruv is still more than 4 amos away from you. And thereby, he has no access to it. We spoke before about a person's personal domain. He has an imaginary 4 amos around him, but here the Eruv is more than 4 amos away, so it's not considered in his domain. Hechi Domi, a further question regarding the cupboard, and use illustration 33. E de'ika kafsa omasna, if there is a hole in the floor, a window, literally, a kafsa is usually taken to mean a window, but in this case we call it a skylight or a hole in the cupboard floors, so that from where he is, if he had a masna as a rope attached to the bread, Ideikar kavsa, the windows, umasna, and the rope, lise bekavsa masna. Here he could bring the eruv, even if it's within 10 tefachim, he could bring it to himself. He's not, in this case, going over the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, which we said before represented a major violation, and hence restricting the eruv's effectiveness. If, as you see in illustration 33, he has that option, so even within 10 tefachim, it would be a good eruv. So the Gemara answers very simply, de les le kafsu masna, because the source we had above with the niskavin lishbois brosh shovach brosh amigdal is because it doesn't, that the windows and rope are not there, and the only way for him to gain access to the eruv would be by carrying it, by taking it from where it is over the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, and that is not allowed. And hence, Lamata Mesorot Vochem, the source said, it's not a good Eruv. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.